I give you permission to believe in the extraordinary, and I give you permission to put yourself forth. I know when I got that exact word of like permission, go live, it actually opened up a world to me. So it's a wonderful world. We have more opportunity, even, I mean, for your case, James, you're changing the world despite your challenge. And I know so many others. I have my sister-in-law who is also got a disability, and she's doing what she can. The internet has changed everything. It really has changed everything. And that change is going to get all the more opportunistic for anybody. Despite any challenge, we can step forth and put forth an extraordinary effort to make the miraculous happen.
Welcome to Professor of Perseverance podcast, where people share their stories of life tragedies, of accepting adversities, begin battling, and conquer challenges to not only survive difficulties, but also thrive in life. Are you having a bad day? Do you need help in overcoming adversities? Do you need help mastering courage to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, then this podcast is for you. Professor of Perseverance podcast will inspire you to face challenges head on in life and provide motivation to be a leader for others by setting examples of winning through difficulties while encouraging people to live life to the fullest. Your host of Professor of Perseverance podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Hey, welcome to the Professor of Perseverance podcast. I'm Dr. James Perdue. Hey, AKA the Professor of Perseverance. Hey, do I have someone wild waiting to talk to you today to give you his story? When Dwayne Zingale, hey, how you like it? I got it. Zingale.
Very nice.
Is not lost in a Lego fairy tale with his two beloved daughters. He is likely to be found geeking out, crafting relationship-based marketing campaigns with his Listen Funnel framework. He loves tech, so you don't have to. Now, I like that. Bring it to me easy. Bring it to me easy. Helping influencers, thought leaders, consultants, and coaches multiply their message through automated marketing. You'll find him enjoying relationship with his wife, Becky, and his two daughters. You can catch Dwayne hosting his own podcast called Marketing Your Movement Show on your favorite podcast player. And today, welcoming Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne, can you hear me? Dwayne, can you hear me?
Okay, how about now?
Oh, there you go.
There it is. All right. All right, everybody.
Dwayne, give us a story. I mean, I'm not saying you're an ugly man. I say you're a handsome young man, but there's obviously we can see something's going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me give you this clear example. I don't say ugly, although I might call it the ugly ducking. I can relate to the ugly duckling. So there it is. Couple of prosthetics. I got those when I was 15. We can have that story sometime today. Kind of a story of the fun side is I have the same syndrome as the movie and or book, if you've seen it, Wonder. So if you haven't watched or read this, it's phenomenal. It's also pretty much my life. It's kind of a weird thing to read a story about your life without writing it. I was born with a cranial facial disorder called Treacher-Collins syndrome. It's not all that different from, say, being Down syndrome, Golden Heart syndrome, right? Something happened chromosomally, and I came out with funny-shaped eyes because of no cheekbones, what was called microtia, or tiny little cartilage ears, and I got to enjoy an abundantly full of challenges, childhood and life, and found success in my own unique way and found just the enjoyment of life. That's kind of a little bit of where I'm coming from in terms of what I've grown up with. It's I'm not, technically 70% deaf. I just happened to, let's see if I can get you this side here. Can you see the hearing aid?
Oh, yeah, it is.
I wear a hearing aid full time. Cool thing is, I think I'm cybernetic. Oh, yeah, I know, right, Erica? It is a phenomenal movie.
I remember when it came out, but I never did get to see it.
It's worth a watch.
I need to get a look at it.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. So I wear that hearing aid full time. I'm weird. I even sleep with it on. Although if it's really loud, I get to turn my ears off.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's neat because I have Bluetooth. So that's how I'm hearing you right now. Is it's all Bluetooth connected right to the computer. No headphones. No outside audio. You're right in my head.
There you go. Hey,
that's cool. Give the new meaning to get out of my head.
Now, you remember this happened probably 3 or 4 years ago in the Super Bowl. I thought it was a great Super Bowl commercial. The referee was standing there just staring at the play, and one of the coaches would just blast him. Ah, you missed that call. How can you do it? And the guy just sitting there just straight-faced while he just blasted him. And then hear the announcers go, man, where do you get such training, you know, to be able to do that? Well, then to go to the next scene, he's sitting on his recliner watching TV, and the wife's hollering, and you don't take out the trash, and you can't. and so he got his training from his wife. So I'm just wondering, whenever you kind of make mistakes, and the wife is kind of a little hyper and upset, how do you reach there and kind of tune her out?
I have been known to tune people out, and yes, I don't do that to my wife because it doesn't lead to anything good. but I have been known to do that in other circumstances where it's rather unpleasant. I can tune out, although if somebody's yelling, I still have 30% hearing, so I can't make it go away completely. But it is kind of that effect of I'm very, what do we call it, selective hearing.
I'm
really good at selective hearing, and I can be even more selective when I wish.
Yeah, you can be better than most people in selective hearing. So,
yeah.
Now, growing up now as a youngster, kids can be incredibly great, and they're inquisitive. And some people, as you know, can be incredibly jerks.
And absolutely.
I'm sure you experienced both sides of that growing up.
Oh man. Yeah. I really have experienced the innocence of a curious child, which is beautiful. I can remember even now, one of the times that stands out, and I don't know why, I was with my mom, maybe 16. I might've even been alone. I could drive at this point or with friends. I can't remember standing in line at a Wendy's with full intent to get a Frosty. I don't know why, other than Frosties are so good, but just standing there in line and waiting behind a little girl and her parents. And she just looks up at me and with full innocence asks the same question I've heard probably 100 and some times. Why are your eyes so funny? And just the purity. And, you know, when I first would hear that, it was a lot harder because it's like, oh, how do I answer this kid? And does that hurt? Do I care? You know, kids say it like it is, often with complete innocence because, well, it's true. I don't have cheekbones and my eyes look funny. Even I can look in the camera and say I look funny. But that's kind of where I am today with complete acceptance of like, I look funny. It's who I am. It's not normal. That's okay. And I usually found great, well, at this point, when I remember Wendy's, because I remember her parents being aghast and then amazed how I responded, because it's just that, I don't know how to help my child right now. And I just calmly bend down to her and, you know, I can't kneel because I'll disappear from the video, but getting an eye level and reaching into that kid and just saying, you know what, honey, I was born a little different and I don't have cheekbones. And just sharing a little bit of the story and reaching her heart and watching her just become endeared. She didn't care that I looked different. She was just curious. She was innocently hungry. And for the most part, that's been my experience, is the innocent child who just wants to understand and ask the question that everybody else wants to ask. Like, I don't want to ask invasively. Like, yeah. Hey, child. So that's kind of that side of it.
Yeah, the elephant in the room. A lot of people want to ask, but then the child has the—I wouldn't say the nerves or the bravery. They just inquisitive and don't know not to ask.
Yeah, they haven't been enculturated to culture—wrong word—and cultured. However, I'm trying to say, you know what I'm trying to say—to not ask innocent questions, to be brave, not because it's scary. This is the Wheel of Life. Hey, how's it going, Wheel of Life?
Hey, this is Tim. It's Tim.
Ah.
This is Dwayne, Tim. Thanks for coming.
Hi, good to have you here, buddy.
And I meant to ask this a while ago when you sort of popped your ear off and everything like that.
Like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I'm assuming that's got magnets, right?
Yeah, so it's a
magnetic implant, but of course a magnet would be.
Yeah, so you can see the two metal pieces there on the inside. It is those are not the magnetic side. Those are just the pieces of metal grafted into the mold. And then if I guess this might be kind of gross, but you might be able to see it. See if I can get in there. And then I got a couple posts, titanium screws. So I went into surgery. Well, I've had 6 surgeries in my life. For the ears, I was born with the little, man, I should have brought some pictures with me. Well, little tiny pieces of cartilage. We called them rosebuds. They're just funny looking. Well, it's kind of funny to look back on your own pictures and go, I was a funny looking kid. Now I'm good looking.
There you go. That's right. Now, again, we're talking about the inquisitive young girl. Now, again, I'm sure you've had what we would call, and let's just go ahead and say it, bullies that you've encountered.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I encountered them mostly the same age that all of us encounter bullies, junior high. And I can remember, and even to some degree, you know, elementary school. I went to a public elementary. Junior high, I just like hit a wall. I was like, send me to a private school. This is too big. This is too crazy. And it wasn't just the bullies. There were many reasons. But I remember it to some degree, but mostly I have this strange memory of I had this knack for becoming friends with the bullies post-bullying. And I remember kind of getting called Four Eyes and being on the playground. What's the Four Eyed song? Who's that character in Batman? Two-Face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a funny face, and so why not Two-Face? And I was uncultured in pop culture and Batman at this time, so I had no idea that it was a reference to Batman, but I know now.
There you go.
Well, just names and teasing and it was sometimes it was hurtful, but I learned this skill from an early age to deflect it with humor. And so I'd often catch them off their guard when I'd take their joke one step further.
That's right.
And give everybody a good laugh at my own, and maybe in an unhealthy way, self-deprecation. Because I'm sure in this community, we all know sometimes self-deprecation, at least for me, was a way through it and over it and around it. Anything other than dealing with it. And through a lot of those events, the bullies kind of, you know, like, huh. Like, how do you respond to that? He just took what we were being mean with and was mean to himself. And so I'd often have a good laugh with him, kind of turn around. And then sometimes I had some friends who were the bullies and then would protect me. And of course, I was the nice kid. I'm like, can't we all just be friends?
Right.
I definitely had my fair share of it. And I always had a knack for deflecting it and making friends of those bullies and turning my bullies into my friends. And my friends into closer friends. I don't know where I'm going there.
But you know those saying, keep your enemies close.
Yeah. I kept my enemies close and then made them my enemies.
I can understand using the humor. It kind of help balance things. It lightens the mood at the time. What could have been a different angle, you know, could have been a different way of them want to approach afterwards. And then when you come back, you know, when you don't come back angrily and after them, then they're going, well, what's going on here? I wouldn't expect that. And
yeah,
I can see that. And some people do use humor to degrade themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that myself in a wheelchair. But if we can use it healthy,
absolutely. Yeah.
In a way that eases a moment.
Yeah. So, a lot of that is I feel like it's been healthy because I don't feel like I'm too crazy now. I'm quite quite happy to make jokes. And Erica, yes, it is. It's hereditary, and we'll come to that when we talk about choosing to have kids. Yeah, it's the easiest way of saying it. It's a 50-50% chance of passing on whatever chromosomal genetics. So, yeah. So
we're just going to just jump on into it now. She's asked. And so it is hereditary. And like you said, it's a 50-50 chance of passing it on. And you do have two children. Two girls?
Two girls. Beloved daughters, and they both love Legos. Woohoo! Because I'm having a Lego revival at my house. Speaking of childhood to becoming an adult, I spent many a years playing with Legos. And I get to do it again!
That's right. Live your childhood over life again.
Yep. Now,
you said it's a 50-50 chance of getting it. So did one child get the hereditary and the other one not? Did both of them get it, or did neither one of them get it?
Yeah. So in this case, now that I've got two girls, I have my oldest who does not have it. Well, we haven't genetically tested her, so she has every possibility of passing it on. Mm-hmm. And then my youngest daughter got it.
Well, when we would say not have it,
She doesn't display any physical outcome that would display it. We've never had her genetically tested to see if she has the genes to pass it on.
You just know physically she didn't.
Physically, she's.
That doesn't mean genetically she may be a carrier.
Correct. Yeah. Carrier. Yeah. That's the word. We do not know if she's a carrier or not.
Yes. So.
Yes, they are. Girls are the best.
Erica's got three sons.
Three sons. You're a brave mom.
You're very brave. My mom raised three boys, and I got to admit, I think she did pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm a little biased, I'm sure, but I think she's pretty good.
You're a pretty cool guy.
I need to have my mother on my podcast. She turned 80 years old this month on the
20th. Oh, wow.
I need to have her on her birthday. She thinks all this internet stuff is oh no, get away from me.
So. Yeah, it's a little overwhelming when you get introduced to it at if she's 80 now, that would be like 30 years ago. 25 years ago, the internet was invented. Not invented, but introduced to the wide world.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
I'll tell you right now, though, she's got the best looking flip phone you've ever seen. She doesn't understand the smartphones and all the swiping she goes on. She's got the greatest flip phone you've ever seen, though.
So yeah.
She's moved up into that much.
Yeah, she's got a cell phone.
Technology is a cell phone, that's correct.
Oh, wow.
So,
Tim says, sons are pains coming from a family of four boys and one girl. Wow. That I can't imagine, but I have seen a family of four boys and isn't that a handful, especially when they're young? Like, have you ever seen so much energy bound up and wound up and bouncing off the walls?
All right, Tim. I'm Tim. Hey, Tim. Hey, Tim. All right, Dwayne. Now let's get to another question. We jumped in from hereditary to your girls. Now, I'm assuming you didn't have any girls by yourself. So
no, I did not.
It's a love of your life. Now, let me ask you this. With your, are you considered it with a dis? Is it considered disability? With your informant,
the hearing loss is absolutely a disability. I'm not sure if the syndrome would be considered a disability, or I've never really explored that idea. I'm
just wondering myself. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So was finding romance in your life? Was it difficult?
Difficult.
I would think that you've got to find a very special woman that can see you for you. And again, past the
facial features. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I can remember back to, I had a job. I was a busboy. You just go back and I was bussing tables in your typical steakhouse restaurant. You know, go to Texas Roadhouse since you're down in the South. You've got steak restaurants. Just imagine yourself sitting there and here I am, the busboy, running around like a madman. And I saw the cutest little girl And, you know, it's always the children that kind of bring out the need to heal. And I just kind of see her and I give her this big smile, sort of a peekaboo moment. And she's just like, oh, I wasn't ready for that face. She was terrified. And that just left me in the moment of every distraught 17-year-old who wants to find love. It captured me. And I thought, oh, I scared a little girl. I'm never going to find love. And so if you would have asked me at 17 or 18 or 19, let's see, that went on for about 10 years. I had one girlfriend when I was 15. And then I lasted from 15 to 25. So I went 10 years kind of with that attitude. It was really hard. Like I'd have distraught nights where just like, I'm never going to find love. My face is so, you know, blame the face. That was the easiest thing to do, was blame the face, not the mindset. And there were seasons when it was just fine. I didn't care. I was having fun gallivanting around the world, visiting China, going to India. I did some really cool things. But finding true love, I started to wonder. I really did start to think it was just going to be impossible to find somebody. She likes me for me, not because.
There you go.
I look like Dirty Harry. Sometimes I break out into song. Sorry.
That's all right, man. Good old time now.
Right, a good old time. So, yeah, that kind of good old feeling, it's a good song for a reason. Every boy wants to sing She Likes Me for Me, not because I look like Dirty Harry. He was a pretty handsome dude. Yeah, and sure enough, I found it. I was kind of surprised, and she didn't really, well, no, she could, if you ask her, she had to ask herself, like, oh, okay, like, can I do this the way he looks? And didn't take her long to answer her own question. Thank God. But, you know, every girl that I ever potentially dated, I could tell, asked themselves that question, like, all right. And any woman who wants to become a mom thinks about the following question. Mm-hmm. Is that hereditary to qualify Erica's question? So don't feel bad about it. Every mom wonders, or potential mom in this case, every lover wonders if she can have children. Maybe not every, but wait, yeah. So I found love, and I have a beloved wife, and I was trying to tell the James, yeah, I think you watched last night. She walked in on me last time, along with my girls.
Let's see the older girl come by one. The other one scampered pretty quick, and mom grabbed her pretty quick.
Yeah, she was headed to the restroom. I had to get off the live. I was like, I don't want the toilet flushing on my Facebook live. We've reached the quintessential awkward moment on Facebook.
And my mom, she remarried. I never met my real dad. They divorced before my first birthday.
Wow.
She remarried when I was 6-7 years old. And this guy that came in, he was my dad. He busted my butt when I needed it, and he loved me when I needed it. And the other guy, he was just a sperm.
The other guy.
He was just a sperm bank. I never met him.
Right. Yeah, that is.
For my first birthday, and he died when I was 12. He was 35, died of cancer.
Oh, sad. Crazy.
The other guy that came in, the stepfather, I never viewed him as a stepfather because I didn't know any difference. And young age, he was my father. It brought me in. And even in that case, and just like your case, and whether it's someone in a wheelchair, amputee, a blind person, deaf person, whatever it is, you've got to, that the person that's going to be with you has got to be that special person that can overlook everything.
Everything. And there's far worse moments than my funny face.
And know the true you.
Yep. Absolutely. And that has been an incredible thing to have, is somebody who I can be emotional with, share my heart, share the crazy thoughts, share when I doubt my faith. Travel the world. Incredible things. And I have more than just a lover. I have a best friend who I can share everything with, far more than any of my best friends know, because, well, she is my best of best friends. It's a wonderful thing. And yes, Erica, I am It's a wonderful thing. I wish it for everybody. It's not always easy to find. I'm glad, despite feeling at the time that I look so different, that I found somebody who accepts me for me. Now I don't feel, I know physically I look different, but I've come to the conclusion that it's not so much of the way I look as much as the way I carry myself. And that's what she found attractive.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you got to have confidence in your self-esteem higher than people would normally think. And you've got to be able to carry yourself that, hey, this is me. I've accepted all this. I'm ready for life to go. Let's move on.
Let's chase our dreams and our visions and find the things we want to find in life.
And full speed ahead.
Yeah, full indeed. Million, I like to say it's a million miles an hour with my hair on fire.
There you go. So, all right, now you may not have experienced this. I'm not sure, but I would think we've all experienced it at some point or not. But somewhat so depressed sometime during life that you just go. Now, I'm not saying you're looking for a way out or anything. I'm just saying it kind of hampered your life at any point.
Sure. Yeah, I can definitely say I've had those moments. I don't think as much related. Well, maybe it was in part related to hearing loss and facial deformity. But I've certainly had those moments where I was so depressed that I just saw no reason to really push forward towards anything. Right. And that's usually depression has no vision for the future. And so I saw, I'm sure in that season, I can remember times where it was like, I'm never going to find love. This hamster wheel is never going to end in terms of work and being stuck in a place that, we call the screw the 9-to-5. If you ever listen to that podcast. And it's just kind of that place where it's just, why try? And you escape. So yeah, it's, I've definitely been there. I don't recall a specific time, but I can remember the feeling.
You were able to work yourself out. You didn't need to seek counseling or.
Yeah. I've never, not in the traditional sense. I've never sought counseling. Got a text from my wife. It's not important in the moment. So I've had what would probably be more equivalent to coaches in my life, because I've always sought out mentorship in either the spiritual fashion. I grew up with a pretty strong Judeo-Christian background, and I found a lot of place to move forward in those moments. So I would often find myself with either friends or mentors in that circle that would pray with me, that would move me forward, that helped me. I often found, for me, finding something to look forward to got me out of it. And so just if it was even looking forward to a trip, which I was highly involved in traveling in the nonprofit world, and the next thing, I'm by nature probably a visionary. I can always find the next thing. So in the moments where I was downtrodden, usually within a season, right? It might take 8 weeks. I can remember one time where I had adrenal fatigue. So I was depressed, adrenal fatigue, sleeping on the couch, probably upwards of 16 hours a day. It was pretty bad. I had finished a stint, saw an amazing success in China with a new program, and exhausted myself and just could not get out of it. And my mentor gave me the option to go on a long tour, like a recruiting tour for the nonprofit, and having something to attach myself to, a purpose, a vision, things to do, even though I didn't like all those things, just traveling, friends, it kind of pulled me out of it, pulled me out of the funk, along with just healing my adrenals, which I've had to do multiple times. World traveler problems. I've kind of wrecked my adrenals about 5 times in life.
So, yeah, I want to go back to one point that you mentioned, that depression doesn't have a vision. And that is one thing that a lot of people that I would think, and I don't have statistics to prove, it's just they can't see beyond what's going on now, see what the future holds, and the potential future.
Yeah, a future that holds something better than that moment right there that's
They just
got miserable. Like, how can I feel any different than this when the future is nothing but this bleakness?
Well, and I mentioned, I won't go into the whole story here today, but I've mentioned that I got so depressed one time that I actually attempted suicide three times in 3 days to get out. And the last time I was found sucking carbon monoxide poisoning out of my vehicle in my garage. And they got me to the hospital and put me in a hyperbaric chamber and everything like that in the hospital for 8 weeks. And because I didn't see
a way out. Yeah.
Your future was big. Now, that was 10 years ago. Don't.
Oh, no judgment here. I've not been that far along, but I have had the thoughts.
Everyone starts sending an ambulance and the police at my house. That's 10 years ago. I'm over it. I got a better future than that I saw 10 years ago.
Indeed.
So I'm glad to be here. Glad to be doing this. Glad to be here with Tim and Erica. You today, Dwayne, and everything. So, Dwayne, let's get into what do you do? What are you doing for a living? I mean,
sure.
You're like most disabled people. This is what other people think. You're like most disabled people. We just sit around and do nothing. And so I'm assuming right now you're sitting around doing nothing, right?
Well, I'm on a standing desk, so I'm not even sitting in this nothingness. I am, obviously a busy dad. That in and of itself is a lot of work. Being engaged, playing board games, loving my kids, getting school. Mom takes a lot of that on, too. I am currently in the place of digital marketing, so I am a full-time remote consultant and contractor for several clients in doing what I call marketing your movement. So working with them on their membership sites, coaches, consultants, thought leaders, influencers, to go from social media into the buying experience. So a lot of things I do is the tech, mapping all of it together, making all the automations work and the email send and the beautiful stuff. So I spend a good amount of time making a lot of that come together, web design, and then managing my creative team, which I've got a pretty unique, fun team, entirely remote. So none of us work in an office. We all work where we want, which is the incredible world that we live in. So I could pick up my whole family and go to Thailand or China or anywhere with a good internet signal. And I used to do that in a completely different fashion. I got my fill of travel. And so I'm doing that as well as doing my weekly podcast on the Marketing Your Movement show. So kind of going from being one of those done for you people to creating my own content and engine and show and essentially putting forth what I preach to my clients and showing them how to do it, experiencing how they experience it, being able to deeply empathize with the content creation challenges of, okay, I got to come up with a new idea. What am I going to do today? You know that feeling, I'm sure. The constant churn of like, okay, I got to keep people engaged. And it's absolutely an incredibly fun and overwhelming and challenging. If you've ever read, have you ever heard of the concept of flow by I can't ever say his name. He's Polish. He had an amazing chat on TED Talks. Mikhaila Mikiewicz?
No, I haven't heard.
Yeah, he's got a process called flow, and I feel like I'm in this wonderful world called flow where skills meets challenging, and it's one part difficult enough, not too difficult most of the time, and one part just fits my skills, my gifts, what I love to do. So I'm in this wonderful world. It took me a long time to find it. And it's rather exciting to get and come alongside people who really are changing lives as coaches and consultants, working with people to move their minds forward to, in your words, persevere past the challenges, because we all have it, whether we come from a disability or from an emotional trauma. Oh my gosh, there's so many cool people I've worked with who change people's lives, and I get to help put them in front of people on the internet, and I absolutely adore that. So I get pretty excited. I can rant for a long time about my work and my passion.
There you go. And what's And not on paraphrasing, which the adage is about as long as your passion is not work, or as long as you enjoy it is not work, you know, things
exactly.
like that. And I'm like you, everybody has something going on. It doesn't have to be a disability. It doesn't have to be everybody has something going on that they're dealing with. And we just not, we don't all understand or know what it is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, give me a good word over here. Thank you. Appreciate that. She said she's been there from the depression also. And not to be ashamed. And Eric, I'm not ashamed that I attempted and here I'm living. That's part of my life, part of my story now from that. But and here's where my podcast. Thank you for letting me know to help you. I appreciate that. Makes me feel good that I know that we're doing something to help other people. And you're a great one, Eric. I appreciate you being here. So, all right. Dwayne.
Dwayne Wayne, yeah, that hasn't been a nickname before.
Hey, give us a good word, a good point to inspire us all before we
man.
Here. Something to get us fired up
speech,
the day.
Speech.
Out. That's right. Something to get us out of the day.
I feel like it's in Hogwarts Academy, and they're all. The whole table's around me. Speech, speech, speech. Everybody's looking to me, and it's like, deer in the headlights. No. Yeah. You know, I think the thought that comes to mind, I just recently read Hal Elrod's book, The Miracle Factor, and it's a very simple thought that unwavering faith paired with extraordinary effort will result in miracles. And I would have to say that's been true in my life, that I've had to put extraordinary effort forth, whatever it was, you know, coming to the terms of acceptance of the way I look and being able to now leverage that. It is a powerful leverage that are recognizing my quote unquote disability as an advantage has given me unwavering faith that I can accomplish anything. Well, maybe not anything. I'm not going to become the next basketball star or anything. So anything within reason, but I can put my mind to many things and give it that unwavering faith and belief paired with hustle, so to speak, right? Just taking action and the right actions and finding that the miraculous, you know, what I didn't think I would ever achieve because I decided to believe I could achieve it came true. And that miracle factor, I read it at the time, finally gave me words to the belief I have in my life. It's natural for me because I am an entrepreneur. I'm in this space of constantly having to believe for what seems impossible. And it's incredible. So I give you permission to believe in the extraordinary, and I give you permission to put yourself forth. I know when I got that exact word of like permission, go live, it actually opened up a world to me. So it's a wonderful world. We have more opportunity, even, I mean, for your case, James, you're changing the world despite your challenge. And I know so many others. I have my sister-in-law who is also got a disability, and she's doing what she can. The internet has changed everything. It really has changed everything, and that change is going to get all the more opportunistic. For anybody, despite any challenge, we can step forth and put forth an extraordinary effort to make the miraculous happen.
There you go. I believe in that as well. Hey, thank you. The good word and, you know, use obstacles as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out and do what you can. And I believe we're here to help other people. So I would think. Main thing was to help other people, and then let's make a living at it as well.
Yes. So you're helping other people is an extraordinary value and worth the little green rewards.
Well, there you go.
If they come in green anymore, mine seem to just go through this mysterious transaction in the online space.
That's right. You don't get to see a lot of it now anymore.
It's just a bunch of numbers on a screen.
All right. And well, don't say yourself. Short there, Dwayne. You're remarkable. You're doing.
Oh, why? Thank you.
Everybody out. You were helping making everything possible. Again, we today are making lives better for the people that have yet to be born. I believe that.
Absolutely.
Catalysts and Frontiers. Of course, somebody was all that before we were born to make things easier and better.
We get to stand on the shoulder of giants.
So exactly. So we're able to do that. So Erica, thank you for being here. Tim, this is Will Life. Thank you for being here. Dwayne, thank you for being here and sharing your story, powerful story.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Be sure to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Be sure to share out to someone you think that might be able to use this. Thank you for being here, everyone. I'm the Professor of Perseverance, Dr. James Perdue. Do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.